Many times in life, we may find ourselves on the mountain of victorial things and being victorious. And then there's other times that we may find ourselves in the valley of despair. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense? All right. Many times in life when difficulties come up and challenges come up and we are faced with social issues and economic issues and loss of jobs and marital problems and division, relational problems, sometimes those type of things can really debilitate us in our walk with Christ. Sometimes we have to face reality, and we find ourselves, when we are standing there, we find ourselves looking out and we seem to be in a valley of despair. Sometimes we seem to be in a valley where perhaps we even may feel defeated. There are many times in my life in the 62 years that I've been living that I'm wondering, how am I ever going to get out of the situation I'm in? How am I ever going to get back to the mountaintop that I need to be standing on? And the reason I'm in trouble is because I keep saying, how am I going to get out of this situation? Instead of saying, when is God going to deliver me out of the situation I'm in? Brothers and sisters, I submit before you today, and I stand before you today, and I tell you that we are all going to be, from time to time, in the valley of despair. Does that make sense? That's not encouraging, but it's the truth. And then there's going to be other times that we're going to be standing on the mountaintop with full victory. There's going to be times that we're going to stand there and it feels like that we've been able to conquer the world, because the Bible tells us that I can do all things through who strengthens us. So when we are having Christ Jesus dwelling in us and us in Christ Jesus, when we're doing what God is calling us to do, yes, there's going to be turbulent times in our flight of life. But I submit to you folks that we can have a victorious life in Jesus Christ. You know, when we talk about Jesus, we're going to use three words today, and you're going to be repeating that with me today if you want the lesson to go quickly. If not, I know how to drag it out. So we're going to say these three words. Christ is risen. We're going to be doing that together, so let's see how you do the first time. Christ is risen. There's about seven or eight of you that didn't move your lips. Don't know if you're having dental issues today or not, but let's do it again. Christ is risen. Very good. You must want to get out of here fairly quick. So here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Christ and that He's risen. The Son of Man, the Son of Almighty God, your Savior, my Savior. He left the beauty, comfort, splendor of heaven to come here to do the very will of His Father. The message today, and the message even throughout the Bible, is really pretty simple. Christ Jesus came to this earth for one purpose, and that is to seek and to save that which is lost. If you look at what the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 19, down around verse 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was. And then if we go over to John chapter 3, and we look at verses 16 and 17, and then we look at Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so that He gave His only begotten, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, finish it up, might be saved. Well, let's go over to the book of Romans, chapter 5, down in verse 8, where the Bible makes it very clear to us. The Bible says, but God demonstrated His own toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for you and for me, that the world, that you and I might be saved. Jesus came here, brothers and sisters, to get His children. Jesus came here to show you and me how we are to live our life so that we one day, on that promised day of judgment, may be able to go to that great home prepared in heaven. In the book of John, chapter 14, around verse 6, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the no man cometh through the Father except through me. And you know what? That's why I love Jesus Christ. Because in our world today, there's religion and there's Christianity. Do you agree with that? And let me tell you something. You and I can have all the religion you want and still blow hell wide open. Do you understand that? Religion means nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want someone, and I see it on these things, sometimes it'll say, what is your beliefs? And Christian and religion and this and that and this. Let's use good grammar. I ain't none of that. I am a Christian. Amen? I'm not religious. I don't care about religion. You don't need to care about a tag of religion. What you need to care about is God. His Son that He gave His life for you and me, because today Christ is risen. And that's what we need to remember. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, giving you and me life. Religion, let it go. Don't get caught up in these organized religious things. Don't get caught up in these cults. Don't get caught up in all these little things that call themselves the church. Let's just go by what Jesus says. Is that all right with everybody? Let's just do what the Lord Himself calls us to do. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus says it's only through me that you can have that home in heaven. Jesus had a mission, and it was Jesus' chief desire to fulfill the wishes of the Father. How do we know what that is? Well, let's just take a look and see what the Bible says about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, all found? I appreciate those four that's found it. All found? All right. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which you also received, in which you stand, verse 2, by which also you are what? If. Did you see this next word? If. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed how? In vain. Go to 3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received from, watch this, received that Christ died for our sins. How do we know that? According to the Scriptures. Go to the next. You can go to 4 if you want to. The Bible says, and that He was buried, and I love this, and that Jesus, that He rose again the third day, and here it is again, according to the Scriptures. Very good. So when we look at these passages of Scripture, it becomes very clear that we're doing what we're doing today because Jesus allowed it. Amen? We're doing what we're doing today because we want to go back home. I enjoy where I'm at, but as I said last week, this is not my home. This world is passing away in the lust of it. Jesus says, but he who does the will of my Father will live forever. Do you get that? And I want to live in heaven with God and the heavenly host. Go down 1 Corinthians 15, look at 20 through 22. The Bible says, but now Christ is risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, that means dead. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection, the Bible says, of the dead. For as in Adam, how many die? Even so in Christ, how many shall be made alive? All that are, the key words are there, are in Christ shall be made alive. Those that are in Jesus Christ. Folks, let us all be reminded of what the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, 33 and 34. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed with the chief priests and with the scribes, and they will condemn Him, talking about Jesus, to death. They will deliver Him to the Gentiles, if you go to the next verse, 34. And they will mock Him. Not only will they mock Him, the Bible says that they will do what? They will spat upon Him. They will scourge Him. Eventually, they will kill Him. But here's your life saver, and here's mine, Heather. On the third day, the Bible says what? He will, say it, rise again. The three words that we've been talking about, say it with me. Christ is risen. Very good. So Christ is risen. Thank you, Father above. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, for offering all of us sinners, every one of us sinners, an opportunity at salvation. How thankful are you that Jesus did give us His life? How thankful are you today that Jesus gives us His Word that we have right here? It's called the Holy Bible. How thankful are you that Jesus gives us His promises? I love the fact that we can stand on the promises of God, can't we? You know what? We've all made promises from time to time, and I've had to break promises. Has anybody beside the preacher ever broke a promise? Some of y'all are flat liars because y'all broken promises. Y'all are like, no, not me. Yes, you have. We've all broken promises in the past, but Jesus doesn't. We can stand on the promises of Almighty God. Can we rely upon the love of God? Absolutely. I'm loving His forgiveness. I'm loving the grace that God shows us and that Christ shows us. I'm appreciating and loving the mercy. I'm so grateful for His understanding, and I'm so thankful that He's preparing a home in heaven for you and for me. Looking at our own lives today, brothers and sisters, from where you are in your relationship with God. Either you have a positive relationship with God and you're marching toward the mark of excellence. Doesn't mean that you're excellent. We are all far from that, but we must be marching toward that. Amen? Okay, we all sin. We all fall short. We all miss the mark. There's not a person in here that doesn't sin, that doesn't fall short. But we have to look at our lives and go, well, I know I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Amen? So that's what we got. Where are you in your walk with Jesus Christ today? Is Jesus important in your life? Is Jesus someone that you worship, that you pray to? Are you paying complete allegiance to the Father by being involved in His Word, by being involved in the attendance of the Lord's church, by doing all that you can to please our Heavenly Father? It seems today, I have a secular job as well. I've been working in mortuary services for 24 years. And I work really, really hard, brothers and sisters, to make sure that my bosses are happy with me at the funeral home that I work. How hard am I working for Jesus Christ to make sure He's happy? Do we work harder in our jobs? And are we more serious and a lot more concerned about making sure that the person who signs your paycheck is happy? What about the person who signs your life or your death certificate? Amen? What about that one that says, yes, enter into the beauty of heaven or depart from me because I never knew you? I'm concerned, brothers and sisters, about Judgment Day. How many people concerned about Judgment Day can confirm it with an amen? All right, for those of you that didn't say anything, I hope and pray you'll come up here because it's a real day and it's coming our way. It's promised that. But listen, Jesus went through a lot for you and for me. At first glance, when I first became a Christian, I remember when Wendell Berg, Jerry Maxwell, and several people came over and they was telling me about the life of Christ and what He went through. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm not sure how He could have held up under the conditions and how He could have held up under what He did. But when I continued to read the Bible and I saw it from the Old Testament about the where these prophets was prophesying about what Jesus was going to go through, and then I actually saw in the New Testament it's exactly what really happened, I began to realize just how much God loves us. I could see very clearly then what Jesus went through, and He did that for you and He did that for me. I know that you and I, seriously, I know that we would have been defeated. I can't judge you, but I assure you that you could not have withheld or withstood what Christ went through. Do you think that you could have handled having your clothes stripped off and being beaten 39 times and flesh ripped away from your body? You think you could have handled that? Let me tell you something. I got an ingrown toenail, and I have to make sure my grandkids are like, don't touch me, I hurt. I can get a splinter in my finger. Paula laughed at me yesterday because there was a fly or something chasing me when I was out there trying to cut grass. It looked to me the size of a bird, but she says it was a little fly. The reality, I fold under little bitty things, but I look at what Jesus endured for you and what He did for me. And yet, sadly, we live in a culture today where people look so lightly upon sin. They minimize sin. They minimize the effects of sin. They look at life, they look at Christ, and they're like, yeah, I know who He is, but do you really know Him? People claim they know God, but do you know God? Do you know that He's a God of severity? Do you know that He's a God that will punish us? Do you know that people say, no, not my God, He's a God of love? Yes, He is, but He's also a God of severity. If you think for one moment that He will accept excuses for our misbehaviors, for our rejecting Him and neglecting Him, you better go talk to those two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah and ask them if God will put up with that. You better go back to the days of the flood, see if you can find any of those people or anything left over from that when God had had enough. Are you following this? So God will not tolerate it. He'll not tolerate us committing spiritual adultery against Him. Our Christ Jesus, our Savior Jesus Christ, I appreciate Him so much. Because He overcame death and now lives and will live forever. He lives at the right-hand side of the Father. That's why it's so important for you and me to abide in Jesus, to live in Him. In the book of John chapter 8, verse 31, the Bible says, if you abide in My word, you are My... Very good. Now Jesus is preparing that place for prepared people. John 14, 2 and 3. In My Father's house are many what? So that means He's there, isn't He? And preparing a place for you and for me. So please remember for our lesson today that Jesus left heaven and He left for a reason. let you and I make sure we're going to look at some very quick points, but we're going to take a look at just a few reasons. Now, this is a list, but not limited to this list, of why Jesus left the comfort and the beauty and the peace of heaven to come to this earth filled with sin, filled with hatred, filled with violence, deceitfulness, murder, immorality, and so on. Did I describe it correctly? We also have people in the world that are honorable, that are Christians, that are happy, that are peacemakers. We've got both sides of that, don't we? And I know some of the preachers today, they talk about the gloom and doom all the time, and they never talk about the positive. I have to give you a balance of that, because just as much as there's agony and the horrors of hell, there's also the beauty and comfort of heaven, isn't it? So we have to be sure that we're doing what Jesus is calling us to do. Not some preacher, not some deacon, not some member, but we're talking about what Jesus says for us to do. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Nowhere in there, Bobby, did he say, if you'll just do what Jerry tells you, if you'll do what Bobby says, or you'll do what Tammy or Bobby or anybody else says. That's not what Jesus says. He says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciple. You're my follower. You're my Christian. You're my servant. You'll have a home in heaven. Is that what he's saying? Thank you, Cynthia. Just one person. Is that what he's saying, congregation? Yes. All right, wake up. Y'all want the lesson to end quick, right? You better answer. All right, let's go get this one. Give you some points real quick. The first thing I want us to consider this morning as we talk about, say it with me, Christ is risen. Very good. So Christ, here he is. Christ had a mission to come here for this reason, Teresa. He wanted to reveal his Father. He wanted to tell people who God was. He wanted to show who his Father was. In the Old Testament, there are glimpses of God, but when Jesus came here in the human flesh, we were all given a greater view, brothers and sisters, of our Heavenly Father. When you look at Christ Jesus today, I promise you, you are looking at the Father. I think about John chapter 8, down in verse 19. The Scripture says, then they said to him, where is your Father? If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, Jesus replies. Then over in John chapter 10, down in verse 30, I and my Father were one. So the passage of Scripture shows some things, doesn't it? Jesus came here to show who he was, to show who God is, to show who the Father is. And then over in the book of Hebrews, if you don't mind going over there, as you think about how Jesus came here to reveal the Father, I have to direct our attention to this. Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 3. The Bible says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by how? How do you do that? Very good. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, through whom all, watch this, he made the worlds. Go to 3. And being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he led himself, purged our sins, or watch this, he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. These passages of Scripture shows us what? That Jesus Christ came here to reveal his Father, and he came here for you and for me. Folks, Jesus came here, he told us, and he showed us about his Father. Do we get that with an amen? All right, second point that we're going to examine is this. Christ came here for another purpose, and that is to establish the church. Let me convey a message to you very clearly. I've got people in my family today that says you do not have to be a member of the church to go to heaven. Have you ever heard that statement? Have you ever heard that statement? Let me clear this up for you. Yes, you do. That's not a Jerry deal. That's not my rule. It's not one of the leaders of the congregation. That's not Nick's rule or Bobby's rule or Jared's rule. That's what God says. If it was not important, if it was not soul-saving, then Acts 2:47 wouldn't even be in the Bible. If you go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible says, and having favor with all of the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as was being what? Say it like you mean it. Saved. So if the saved are added to the church that he adds us to, whose church? His church. where is the ungodly appearing? The saved has been added to the church, so the unsaved is on the outside of the church. Is that about right? Are you uncomfortable? All right. So the unsaved is on the outside of the church. Let me bring this to you. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, down in verse 18, I love what Jesus says. Brothers and sisters, He came here for that purpose, to establish the church. Watch this. I say to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build, and the gates of hell or the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What Jesus is simply saying is, these people, these sinners, need a church. He just asked Peter, he said, hey, come here a minute. Peter walked over there and he said, how you been? He goes, I'm doing all right. He said, what you been up to? He said, I went to Walmart. No, he didn't say that part. But he asked him what he was doing. Peter hung out for a minute. And then he said, who do you think I am? And he told him. He told Jesus who he was. And then he says, based on that, it's time for me to build my church. Y'all remember that? Time for me to build my church. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell or the gates of Hades, that word Hades means the realm of death, shall not prevail against it. Jesus built his church upon a solid foundation. You remember he said, upon this rock? Y'all remember that? Upon your confession. Upon this, I'm going to build my church. And even though I, Jesus, am going to physically die, even though I'm going to ascend upon high, he says, my church will always stand. Do you get that? So if when the Bible tells us, having favor with all of the people, the Lord out of the church, many of those that are being saved, then where is the unsaved? Where do they appear? But I've got people in my family and I've got friends that say, well, I don't know about all that. I just know that I can worship in the bathroom. I can worship out back. I can worship while I'm cutting grass. Absolutely. You can worship whenever. That's the good part about our spiritual liberties. You can worship whenever, where, however you want to do it, as long as it's conducive with the Scripture. Amen? All right. So that's what we have to make sure we're doing. The Bible makes it very clear. I'm thankful today that Christ came here to establish the church. Jesus Christ was put to death upon the third day. We know that He rose again. Say the three words with me. Christ is risen. Your third point that I want us to examine is this. Christ Jesus came here to show us, this is a hard one, how to love and forgive. He came here to show us how to love and forgive. I'm struggling with that. I can stand up here and tell you all day, you got to love and you got to forgive. But it's hard, isn't it? I mean, if each preacher that's sent up there, and they pull their little things, and they got the perfect little dental, and everything is fine. Oh, you just got to love everybody. That's, yeah, we are to strive, but that's not that easy. Because I love the people that love me. I don't like the people that don't like me. What about you? The reality is, let's just get right to it. I can polish that up any way I wanted. I can build a facade around it, and I can tell you this, and I can give you this perfect little preacher oration. But the reality is, it is hard to love those that don't love us. It is hard to like someone that don't like us. Now, there are some of you that will set a better example than I will, because if I don't like you, I'm going to pray that God helps you and that God helps me. I'm going to hope and pray that your soul goes to heaven. But I couldn't care any less about ever being a chicken-eating buddy with you. That's not what's important to me. What's important to me is let's all get to heaven. Amen? Let's all do what we can to get to that place called heaven and then to be accepted into that place. But the Bible tells me that I'm wrong. That's why sometimes I just don't like studying the Bible. What do you mean, preacher? Why would you dare stand in front of a group of people and say that? I don't. I study the Bible because I know that the oracles of God's right here. I know that my directions to get to heaven's right here. But sometimes I just don't like studying the Bible because I get convicted. Anybody else besides me? Thank you. Me and Teresa and Nick. That's only three. But me, Teresa, and Nick, we get convicted when we read the Bible because when I read the Scriptures, Abby, I can see very clearly, hey, I'm in violation of this, and that warrants a change, doesn't it? That means I've got to make a change in my life, Heather. Luke 9:23, then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. And what's that next part? Take up the what? Cross and follow me. Dana, let me tell you something. That cross is heavy, isn't it? Said all that to say this, brothers and sisters, it's not the easiest task in the world to follow Jesus, is it? Some people, oh, it's the best life in the world. It's the most rewarding life in the world. but it is the hardest life I've ever lived because there's discipline involved. There are things that I have to make changes on. I can't hang out with the group I used to hang out with. Sorry. I can't frequent the places that I used to frequent and still be satisfying to God. Not because of them, not because I'm better than them, but because I'm easily influenced. Anybody beside the preacher easily influenced? You know, abusive language has been my problem since I was 5 years old. If I'm around a bunch of other Christians and I stay around a bunch of other Christians, not a word. I'm doing just fine. Put me out in the world today with some people using four-letter words and three-letter words or whatever, it won't be long if I'm not careful. I'll be saying the same thing they're saying. Are y'all following me? All right. So what we have to be careful of is making sure we don't lose our focus on God. Make sure that we truly know how to love one another. In the book of 1 Corinthians, is that in the Old or New Testament? Y'all didn't say that like you meant it.
No.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, y'all ready? Watch this. Jesus has shown us how to love. This is your last point. If you do right, I'll get you out in a minute. If not, good luck. All right. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That means everything you do is in vain. It's void. It's no good. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all the faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, what's the next three words? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it... Love suffers long and is kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not arrogant or puffed up, doesn't behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the what? Bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. I love these next three words in verse 8. Say it with me. Love. But whether there are prophecies, they're going to stop. Whether there are tongues, that'll stop. Whether there is knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Go with me to 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, what did I do? I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, what did I do? For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall... Watch this. Then I shall know just as I am also known. I want you, every one of us, to do this next verse together. Is everybody ready? Go. And now abide in faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these. Okay. That passage of Scripture tells us all about love. What does it mean? Break it down. It means you can do anything you want. You can say anything you want. You can give all of your tithes and your offerings, if that's what you want to call it. You can do all these multitude of alms and good deeds. It's not going to profit you nothing without genuine love. Amen? All right. So what does it mean? Outward acts of religion, it ain't no good. I'm a Christian. I'm not religious. Say that with me. I am a Christian. I'm not just religious. All right. We also have to do this, and this is sometimes hard too. Does anybody have a problem forgiving other people? Sometimes it can be very difficult. Now, if somebody takes a parking space, okay, I can get over that. If somebody at my job, you know, I always keep soup up in the cabinets because sometimes I forget to bring my lunch and open it up. And I think, well, I know what I'm going to have today, Heather. Your boy says to go in and get him some chicken noodle soup. Yes, ma'am, because I got three cans for $2.19 at IGA in Kentucky. So I put it up in the cabinet. All is good. I go in there. Jared, my taste buds are ready. My buddy done brought me a grilled cheese. I'm going to put in the microwave. Taste buds ready. I'm ready to roll. Open it up. Guess what's in the cabinet? Dust. Nothing. That stuff aggravates me. I know I'm being a little bit silly, but that stuff aggravates. Do I hold a grudge? Sure. I mean, no. I need to be forgiven, don't I? I need to learn how to forgive. Those are little bitty things. But what about when somebody sins against us in a big way? What about somebody that hurts your child? What about somebody that says something negative about your wife? What about when somebody really debilitates things? What about someone that's just trying to bring reproach upon you or bring reproach upon the church that you represent? Are y'all getting the picture? How hard is it then to forgive? Still a lot easier than what Christ did for you and for me. Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross. He had a crown of thorns that wasn't put on his head like these preachers say. They were crushed into his brow because it brought blood. He gave his shoulders, didn't he, to be beaten and to carry that cross. He gave his back to have the skin peeled off. He gave his hands to be nailed to the cross, didn't he? He gave everything that he had, his feet. He gave everything for you and for me for forgiveness. In Matthew 18, 21 through 35, you can read that later today, and you'll see great examples of what the Lord's talking about when it comes to forgiveness. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you." Did y'all hear what I said? Did everybody hear what I said? Amen? Okay. So Jesus Christ came here to show us how to love and forgive, because the three words are Christ is risen. Let's get ready to close. This morning, I believe that you and I could go on and on and on discussing the very reasons that Jesus Christ came to this earth. You and I know that Jesus left heaven to come and to reveal and to show us who His Father is and was and is. We know that Jesus came here to establish His church, the church that you must be added to be able to get to heaven. I showed you that. And I'm thankful that Christ Jesus came here to show us how to love each other and to forgive each other. Is it easy? No. But neither is what Jesus did on the cross easy either. Christ is risen. Christ also came to leave us, listen to this, leave us the truth. And it is found in His Word, so that we are all made free by our love and our faithful obedience unto Him. Free from the eternal consequences of sin. John chapter 8, down in verse 32, the Bible says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth shall..." All right. These truths will help us to transform our lives and to help ourselves, if we may, to prepare ourselves for that coming judgment day. Hebrew 9:27, "It is appointed once for man to die, but after this..." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul had to remind the Corinthian church that there's a judgment day coming. He told them that because they were involved in immorality, yet they was calling themselves a Christian. They were involved in the idol worship, but yet they was calling themselves Christians. They were involved in neglecting so great their salvation, but yet they were calling themselves Christians. Paul walked in with a few words inspired of God and said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad." You are going to give an account for what you've done and what you will do. This morning, you have an opportunity to be sure that things are right in your life with Him. Say these three words with me again. Christ is risen. Jesus came here to give you and me an assurance of life when this physical life here is over. Jesus came here and He taught His followers how to pray, didn't He? And He has taught us that as well. Jesus came here to give you and me the ultimate assurance of a home in heaven with God and all of the heavenly hosts. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we close our lesson today, let me remind you that Jesus was arrested, wasn't He? He was also convicted of a crime that He did not commit. Jesus was put up on that cruel cross at Calvary for sin, not His, but mine and yours. Put to death for sin. Again, not His, but ours. He was put to death. And thank you, Father above, that Jesus Christ rose again upon that third day, giving life to you and me, giving real peace to you and me, giving a happy eternity with God in heaven forever for those who will just submit to His will and way. Christ is risen. Say it with me again. Christ is risen. Will you serve Him? Will you love Him? Will you do what Jesus is calling you to do? He's given His all for you. What will you give for Him? Give your life to the Father. If you're not a Christian, here's how you become one. Hear God's Word. I gave it to you by Scripture. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that He died on the cross. Believe that He was murdered for you. Believe that He was buried. If on the third day He rose again, didn't He? Without the resurrection, we're wasting our time. Jesus was resurrected, and believe that. Know that. Hear, believe. We need to repent, must repent. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, but unless you repent, you will all likewise, you're going to die spiritually. Upon these things, you need to make a confession, and then upon your confession of faith, be baptized because the preacher said so. Wrong. You're baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That's it. And then we are to live a faithful life. How long do we live a faithful life? Unto death. And always, always remember, we are indeed Maybe you're a Christian today, but you've walked off from the fold of safety. Maybe one time in your life you were living for Jesus, you was holding hands with Jesus Christ, but now you've went back into the world. I'm telling you, I'm telling myself, one of these days we're going to breathe our last here, and then we're going to stand before God in judgment. I hope that you're ready. Are you ready for the judgment? Today you can get ready, you can be ready. If you're a Christian, you've walked away, come back. Be restored. Walk again the newness of life. If you have a need, you need it all. Come now. It's together. We stand in peace.